Good morning, Maranatha. It's time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. I am Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and I'm so glad that you have joined us for a Sunday morning sermon here on our website. Thank you for coming. There are those of you that have contacted us and told us that this broadcast in their Bible teaching and the preaching of the Word is a blessing to you, and we're so very thankful to hear from you. A letter recently told me personally, said, Pastor Venable, make no mistake about it, a short testimony, but the testimony included, you are making a difference. And you know, I needed to hear that. It comes a stage in your life, in your ministry, when that is the supreme issue of being in ministry. It is to make a difference in someone's life. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not ready to die, or you're not ready to meet Him should He come. You would be left here if He came for His church and took us away. We want you to stay tuned today. God loves you so very, very much, and He wants you to not be lost. He wants you to be saved. He wants to save you. He wants to heal you, deliver you, and I'm talking about not just physical healing alone, but spiritual healing. Physical healing is temporal, for their bodies are temporal until the resurrection, until Christ comes. Oh, but this healing is the healing from sin's deadly wound. Oh, friend of mine, stay tuned today. Hear what God is saying to us as Christians, and think about your own life, and think about where it's headed. Think about where you stand right now. Do you stand with this in this culture? Do you stand with the woke crowd? Do you stand with those who are trying to change everything into something that is so far, not only from our foundations here in America, but so far from any kind of biblical standard or moral standard? Make up your mind today. If you want to stand with that group of people in order to be applauded and accepted, or do you want to stand with Jesus Christ and His people today? I pray you will stay tuned and listen to the challenge that we have as Christians in our generation. I want to talk to you today on the subject, Modern Day Daniels in a Cultural Lion's Den. I want to say that again, Modern Day Daniels in a Cultural Lion's Den. While you're turning to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Listen to the scripture in just a moment. Let me say something before we begin reading. The world and the world system is trying to change us. God wants us, hallelujah, to change the world. I know the whole world isn't going to get saved. The prophecies have already declared what's going to happen. But there are people in the world, hallelujah, that are going to get saved. Not only are they going to be saved, they're going to be sealed when they become saved by the Holy Spirit, just like we are. And they're going to be safe from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. So the world is trying to change us, and God wants us to be used to change things in the world, in particular people and where they're going to spend eternity. I want to make a statement before I read from the book of Daniel. The greatest threat to Daniel was not the lion's den. And the greatest threat to the three Hebrew children was not the fiery furnace. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, and He delivered the three Hebrew children, not really from the furnace, but through the furnace. Hallelujah. But what was the greatest threat to both of them? It was the pressure to become absorbed into the Babylonian culture, to adopt its values, and to worship it's God's. I want to say that again. The greatest threat to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was the pressure to become absorbed into the Babylonian culture, to adopt its values, and to worship its gods. Now let's read from the book of Daniel. It said, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. You see, compromise in the area of our faith will always give place to our enemies. And God allows us defeats if we compromise our faith. The reason Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't burn in that furnace is because they wouldn't bow to any other god. And the reason Daniel was not devoured by the lions in the lion's den, because God sent an angel and shut to the mouth of the lions, is because that he would not worship the gods of the Babylonians. He would not even eat food from the king's table and defile himself as a Jewish servant of God, even though he had been carried away captivity. So it said, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of the Lord, which he carried into the land of Shinar and to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. Here's the beginning of the strategy of Satan in that day, through the political system and the culture in that day, the powers that be in Babylon, the beginning to absorb. They didn't just kill everybody, you see. In order for Babylon to become the great, mighty city and that it was, they didn't kill everybody when they conquered them. They brought the brightest and the best into their culture to strengthen the culture and strengthen Babylon in particular. Listen carefully. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were children of Judah, Daniel. Now you won't recognize these names because he sought to change their names, to take away the names that had to do with their faith and their heritage as chosen people of God. Listen, now among them were the children of Judah, Daniel, and listen, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart. I want you to underscore that in your heart if you don't have your Bible open. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He let him know, my loyalty is to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Listen, the king sought, and the using the culture of Babylon, he sought to change initially their language. He sought to change what they said, their language, in Daniel 1 and verse 4. You see, in ancient Babylon, three languages were used. There was the Aramaic of ordinary business and diplomacy, sometimes referred to the Syrian language. There was also there was the Assyrian, a Shemitic tongue. This was the language of historic and legal documents. It was eminently a monumental language. Lastly, there was Akkadian, the sacred tongue in which the bulk of the magical formula and ritual directions of Babylon and Nineveh were written. It was most likely that this is the language that they were taught. Nebuchadnezzar knew that long before he could make them behave like Babylonians, he must make them think like Babylonians. You see, the media, the journalist in the false news networks, when I say false, they're sprinkled with enough truth to make us think that they're interested in truth. They are not interested in truth. They are interested not only in getting viewers to their particular stations, CNN and MSNBC, and you go down the list. What they're interested in is changing the culture, and particularly our young people, our children today, in the schools, in the books that they read. It is all a design by the enemy. Now, this is not, this is not some kind of you know, right wing nut, as they call us. This is not some kind of conspiracy theory. This is a spiritual fact. This is a truth, according to the Word of God. And we see Satan's strategy even way back in Daniel's day in ancient Babylon. He wanted to do this, is to make them learn the Chaldean language, Chaldean customs, and Chaldean ways of thinking. He had to change their heart language first. You see, today we see a shifting in language, a redefining of terms, of political correctness, and that indoctrinates the mind to a secular humanist way of thinking. In effect, sodomy and homosexuality is ultimate lifestyle, and those opposing that by disagreeing with it is called homophobes. Abortion and infanticide is simply pro-choice. Drunkenness and chemical dependency is just substance abuse. The mention of God is being removed from every reference in our education and political arenas. The terms used for God are becoming gender neutralized. This is an incredible thing that's occurring in our culture. That's why Christians today are in a cultural lion's den. But if we don't bow to any other God, and if we do what the Scriptures tell us to do, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And listen, touch not the unclean thing. Sanctification is not a word you hear much about today, but we need to hear it even more today. The Scripture said, the grace of God, which hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. We are indeed upstream Christians in a downstream world. But God is with us, dear friend. God is for us. And as sure as God delivered Daniel from the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, when I say from it, he took them through it. but the Babylonian culture itself was shaken when they saw what occurred when God's deliverance came to His people. I believe if we bow to no other God and we quit making concessions and compromises with the world and the culture we live, and we live as God has called us to live, as a godly people, a sanctified people, i.e., in effect, a separate people, I believe God's deliverance is going to be experienced in our lives no matter what we are facing. When we call upon Him, He's going to say, "Here am I," through that deliverance, through that healing, through that miracle. I believe the Lord is going to showcase His covenant with His people who have been brought into a new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe the world is going to see it. There are false revivals. There are true revivals that went off their rails. But I'm telling you, what God is doing in this last day when He stretches forth His hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of His holy child Jesus, as the scripture said. Hallelujah. It's going to have an impact in this culture that we are living in. But it's going to take people that give heed to God's call to come apart. Hallelujah. Come apart. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Hallelujah. This is the call of God today. You see, church, the word church is from the word ecclesia in the Greek. And it simply means, it doesn't mean an organization or a denomination. It doesn't even mean Christians in particular. It means, it really means called out ones. And that's why true Christians are giving heed to that call. We are the called out ones. What are we called out of? We're called out of a culture that is flowing away from God. And we are indeed upstream Christians in a downstream world. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. God is for us and God is with us. And when we determine in our heart, when we purpose in our heart not to partake of that God has called unclean. Now we're going to have to be very wise in our decisions and very committed in our devotion. But if we choose, and I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about the purpose of grace is not to cover up our sin. It is to, well, the grace of God that's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Friend of mine, too many people are using grace as a cover-up for sin and for an affiliation with sinners. That's why the Bible said, "Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, for what fellowship hath light with darkness? And Christ with Belial." That word Belial is talking about the devil himself and the demon hordes that he is king over. We can't keep playing these kind of spiritual games where we're in the world all week long and we think an hour, and I mean an hour, there's some churches, if they don't close within a gnat's eyebrow of 12 o'clock, they think, "Oh my goodness, we got to get another preacher. We got things to do. We got to get out here and enjoy our time off. Here we are sitting in church for an entire hour, and he's still talking. Everybody's looking to see which hand Mickey's hands are on." Anyway, I'm not going to go there and be too sarcastic, but I'm going to tell you, if we're going to see a revival like we need to see, a true revival, one that that doesn't go off the rails, and the one that isn't spotted by flesh. And we see a real, genuine move of God. We're going to see the kind of deliverance that Daniel experienced in the den of lions. And we're going to see deliverance and answers to prayer like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced. Hallelujah. And we're going to have, a last day move of God that is going to so impact people in this culture. This lion's den culture, that friend of mine, many are going to be swept into the kingdom of God. People are going to come to know Christ as their Savior. We can win them in this war with the culture. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar knew. He knew. If he could bring them into the Babylonian culture, then all of their talents and abilities could be used to expand that culture and enhance that culture. He knew that long before he could make them behave like Babylonians, he must make them think like Babylonians. And the first step in making them think like Babylonians was them to learn the Chaldee language, Chaldean customs, Chaldean ways of thinking. He had to change the language, not only of their brain and their mouth, but of their heart. Dear friend of mine, I was reading in the book of Revelation, and it's talking about the church. One of the seven said, I know where you live. I know your works. I know that you're standing true in spite of the persecution and even martyrdom. He says, be faithful unto death. I'll give you a crown of life. And he said, I knew where you live, even where Satan's seat is, even where his headquarters is, even where his earthly place of influence. You know, he doesn't have an earthly come down through the Antichrist and express himself directly on our planet, on terra firma. It's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. And there's a hierarchy of demon powers, and part of that is the rulers of the darkness of this world. But in that particular church, there was the library at Alexandria, one of the largest in the world during the writing of the book of Revelation, had burned down. And now this church boasted the largest library of this city, where this church was, had the largest library of any city in the world. And because it had the largest library and it had the most books in it, though they were written in papyrus and they were different from today, but all the learned people that wrote about their philosophies and their learning and their understanding, all of those people, all of them that had written it down, those books were found, and people seeking knowledge and seeking truth, they went to that particular city. And I want to read that to you because the church's name is Pergamos, and it's in Revelation chapter 2. Listen to it. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, listen, even where Satan's seat is. Where did he choose? You know, when I think of Satan's headquarters, his base of operations and influence, I think of the most horrendous, atheistic, sinful places in the world. Oh, no. No, he is in the most where education is occurring, where people are coming to seek truth, where they're reading the philosophies and the teachings of people who have written the books, who they look to lead them and guide them, and they're filling their mind. and the mind is being influenced. Make no mistake about it. There is a battle for the mind. Why is it so intense? Because he that controls the mind controls the soul. And he that controls the soul is going to control the destiny. And the God of this world has blinded the minds of men, the scripture says. The Greek word is tefluo, and it means to obscure with smoke. Amen. It means to deceive. And in that deception, people can't see. They can't see what God's word is saying. They can't hear. Their ears have become dull of hearing. That's why the scripture said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. If you're identifying with Jesus as a Christian today, you're going to be hated by the culture. That's not a bad thing. It's going to help you to not embrace the culture, make concessions to it, and compromise with it. We are upstream Christians in a downstream world, but we have God going before us. Jesus put it this way. I want to encourage you this morning. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's the bad news. That's enough to make you cringe at the thought. The Greek word is strong. It's thelpsis. And it literally means pressure and anguish. And here we are bowing our heads, looking at the culture and what is becoming. And Jesus said, but be of good cheer. Cheer up. Why? Because I have overcome the world. One paraphrase says, I've robbed it of power to harm you. Praise God. We're in it. And Jesus prayed that prayer in intercession in John 17. You know what he prayed for us? He said, Father, I'm not praying you take them out of the world. Why? That day is going to come. Christ is going to come. We're going to leave this planet. Oh, but he said, I'm not praying right now that you take them, his disciples, his followers, out of the world. But I'm praying that you will keep them from the evil one. And the scripture said we are kept by the power of God. That's how God is answering that prayer. We who have decided not to make concessions or compromises and take the heat for it, whatever that cost us, it's going to be worth it. Amen. We're going to experience the power of God like we have never experienced the power of God in our life. Paul talked about his sufferings for the sake of the gospel, and he said, I'm going to rejoice in instead of get depressed over it, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friend of mine, today there are many, many powers against us, but the power of the God who is for us is greater than them all. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in Psalm 124. It said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have swallowed us up quickly. Let all Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have swallowed us up quickly. Ah, but when the Lord is on our side, and why is he on our side? Because we are on his side, and we commit ourselves to stand our ground as Christians today. Hallelujah. I want to bring you some good news in this bad news world. Listen, let me finish this particular verse of scripture here in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12. I'm going to read it down again. To the angel of the church, which means the minister, the leader, not a celestial being, to the angel of the church, the messenger of the church of Pergamos, write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. What is that? Is that just a blade? No. The Bible said when Jesus comes, the way he's going to destroy the Antichrist and false prophet, and the devil is a sword is going to come out of his mouth. The Bible says the word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword. If you ever needed to get in the Word and get the Word in you, it's in this day that we live. He is the one that hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat or headquarters is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my... You see the faithfulness he's calling for so that he can keep us from being absorbed into the culture, in effect, devoured by the lion. Hallelujah. I know where you dwell, where Satan's seat, his place of influence is, and that thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days, listen how bad it got, wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth, where his headquarters is, and where he's operating from personally. Listen, he hasn't come down fully. He's still influencing through the culture. He's influencing through the educational systems. He's influencing through all kinds of media. But there's a day coming when it says in the book of Revelation, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows what every Christian needs to know. And sometimes I believe the devils know it better than we know it, and we need to know it as well as they know it. Having great wrath, for he knows he has but a short time. Oh, friend of mine, the time is growing short. Jesus is coming soon. The day of the Lord is approaching quickly, and it's going to come as a snare, the Bible said, upon the inhabitants of the earth. No one will escape it. Ah, but today, God is calling His people out from the world. The prayer of Jesus was this: Father, I don't pray you come right now, send me to get them, take them out of the world, but yet you keep them from the evil one. Somebody said one of the greatest things that God can do for a Christian when someone becomes a Christian is take an unholy man, make him holy, and put him back in the world and keep him holy. The Scripture says that we are kept by the power of God until the very day of redemption. I'm looking for manifestations of God's power to keep us, to help us to stand when we decide to take a stand. But you got to identify. You got to represent. Glory be to God. And I represent a great and mighty King today. And I don't want anything from Nebuchadnezzar's table. I don't need it, because only God can satisfy my soul. Only God can deliver me from the lion's den, you from the lion's den. The Apostle Paul was in a culture and with powers that be that wanted his destruction, but until God called him home as a martyr, no one could touch him. And he put it this way. He said, He has delivered me. God has delivered me from the mouth of the lion. Glory be to God. Satan goeth forth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means there are people that he may not. I like what Brother Shambach said years ago. It's true. It's a sad truth, and it needs to change. He said, Jesus, Satan is as a roaring lion, but Jesus pulled his teeth at Calvary concerning you and me as Christians. Listen, the Bible said that evil one touches him not. That's you and me answering the prayer of Jesus. God is keeping us with his power, a supreme power, not a little bit better, but the greater than greatest of powers. And that's the power by which we're kept with if we will keep the faith with the help and grace of God right now, right in the culture that we are in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But here's what that tent evangelist that I used to go in here when I first got saved, Brother R.W. Shambaugh, he said, God pulled Satan's teeth concerning the Christian at Calvary. But the shame is, the disgrace is, that he's gumming many Christians to death. That means he's destroying, not through his power that is overpowering Christ in us and God in us. No, it's through his deception. It's through his schemes. It's through his strategy, his wiles of deceit. This is a day of great deception, but it's also a day of great delineation of God's truth. And I'm telling you right now, I know I am in the kingdom for a time such as this. Listen, you're not hearing this today by accident. If you're here today, I believe it's by divine appointment. I know I am here teaching and preaching this Sunday morning sermon by divine appointment. And that means that God wants to accomplish something in someone's life here today, hearing this broadcast, and even in me as I am making this broadcast. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder, discerning, and declaring, hallelujah, that is spirit and that is just flesh. It's the only book in the world that makes that distinction is the Bible, the Word of God. Christian, it's time to come out from among them and be ye separate. Says who? Says you? No, I'm saying it because he first said it. It's his word that I'm bringing you today. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to seal you with the Holy Spirit if you're not saved. And he wants to keep you safe from the wrath to come. Oh, dear friend of mine, he wants you to be ready for the soon coming of Jesus today. Christian, let's stand our ground like Daniel did, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And let's see God's delivering power in our generation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you will come to Christ today, that you won't run from Him. You see what's happening in the culture. Does it shake you? Do you want to be part of what we're seeing today? Did you have a praying mama? Were you raised in a home, even if they were not Christian, that had a moral standard? And you see what's happening. Do you want your kids to be absorbed into this culture as we see it? I believe in America, and I believe there's still people that God can touch, that God is calling. So come to Christ today. Give your heart and life to Him. Lead your family to Him. Intercede for your children that they will come to know Him and be kept by the power of God in this evil day. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, once again, I adjure you, I plead with you, while there is time, before Satan literally plants himself through the Antichrist, when he, I believe, possesses him and uses him, before the plagues come, before the bowl judgments, before the trumpets that announce judgments sound. There's another trumpet that we're tuning our ears to as Christians. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah. We which are the dead in Christ shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and we which are living and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus today. Tune your ear to the sound of that trumpet, the trumpet of deliverance, the trumpet of redemption. In Jesus' name.